The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, you made it just in time back from St. Louis.
Can you believe it? Overnight red eye, just landed, and here we are.
Yeah, so thank you for that. Your arms must be tired. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. So we were talking about at the end of last show yesterday. I had to take my dog to the vet. Always, I mean, it's not up there really with the cell phone store.
Oh, yeah.
But it's close of like things I dread doing.
Yeah, cell phone store, though, you're also committing to paying something over a 12 or 18 month period. Right?
Yeah. You're in for a long...
Oh, yeah.
A long day.
Yep.
As soon as you walk through the door of the cell phone store. This is not as bad, but it can be up there.
Yeah. You're walking out with less than you walked in.
Yeah. So, my dog's had... And, you know, my wife knows more than I do. She's had dogs, like, her entire life. But you know, even I can do it. My one dog has had like some sort of ear infection, you know, scratching his ear, and then like you can kind of smell it, so it's like, all right. We tried to give him some drops, hadn't really cleared up, so it's like, all right, we gotta take him to the vet. My dog hates going to the vet. He's a true protector of the house,
yeah,
and of everyone, and he gets on edge, you know, new like things, people coming, you know, this vet room, it's got a door on each side, people are walking through like all the time, it's like his worst nightmare.
Does any pet like to go to the vet?
I don't think so.
I haven't met one. No,
actually there probably are like a lot of nice, you know, very friendly dogs who just love new people,
I guess. But anything medical,
yeah. But he's not a huge fan of it. Anyways, so, you know, I have that in the back of my mind. It's always like the whole time it's like calming him down. He's shedding like crazy at the vet. Every time we leave the vet, just like pools of hair everywhere on the vet floor. And you know what? We know he has an ear infection. He's going to need some sort of ear drops. You know, they ask, is there anything wrong with him? Like anything else? Diet change? Like, is he eating less? Is he, you know, limping? Is anything else like that? I'm like, nope, it's just the ear. Scratching the ear. The ear bothers him. And you know what's going on. Joe, about an hour and $200 later, I left with ear drops for an ear infection.
That's an expensive hour.
So here's like my thing as I'm walking out of there. I say, on one hand, I like the people who are at the vet. They're all very nice people. And on one hand, you understand, okay, like when we go to the doctor, we have insurance, we might have a copay, but it's mostly taken care of through insurance. You're paying all the costs, and they run like, I mean, it's a big operation, right? They've got literal operations going on. Like they got to fund all the stuff they do. So in a way, it's going to be expensive. At the same time, I'm walking out of there going, like, he had an ear infection. He needs ear drops. That's what we got. $200. What the hell?
And you were already using drops, right? If I remember the story from yesterday, you were putting drops in his ears.
Yeah. I don't know if that were. I didn't know how much I was supposed to use. Like, I needed a little guidance and, you know, the correct thing to
right.
be. But, like, to break it down, it's $65 actually $75 just to walk in the door, because there's, like, an extra $10 fee that everyone gets. So it's $75 just to walk in the door, like, just to get your...
So that's already,
you know,
out,
whatever.
Regardless, yeah. That's gone.
It was... like $40 or $50 for the ear swab test, which is where I take, like, you know, again, I have no idea what I'm talking about, and maybe there's a million different types of ear infections, but I, like, if I know it's an ear infection, my wife does, could the vet, like, look at it and figure, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking, I don't want to question it too much, but, like, the test seemed a little... As soon as they brought out the swab, I knew I was going to be bringing out the wallet.
Could you have, you know, you can get a COVID test for free with your insurance. Could that have worked as a ear
can
test?
Can I borrow your swab? Don't take it. Just do it. Let me take it. And then it was $50 for these drops that they gave me. And then, like, the rest is for... Now they want me to give, which is another thing, It's like a minor sedative to him for the next time he comes in, so he's not as anxious and nervous. And I'm thinking, here, my dog, I thought I did a really good job.
Right, you were proud of him.
And I got the vibe from at least one of the people who were walking in, like the pre-vet. There's the vet doctor, and then there's somebody else who comes in before and asks you questions and takes the swab.
Just like a human doctor.
It seemed like they were almost scared of dogs.
Yeah, maybe it's not the right profession, right? I mean, and I've never heard of this. I've taken my dog to the vet. They've never given me something for the next time. That is new to me.
Now he's got to go in again for the follow-up visit
and
to make
you've
sure
gotta give
that
the sedative?
I've got to give him this. Well, I don't have to do anything. Just take him in.
Is it oral or is it an injection?
Oral.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, like, $200? Is that, the entire reason I'm talking about this right now is to figure out, like, I feel like I'm getting ripped off here. I don't know if I am.
I think you're getting ripped off, but the last part of that is actually, because it's not my wallet, it's yours, so that's probably why I'm focusing on this. The sedative part is the most interesting to me. I mean, I had a dog growing up, and I would go sometimes with my parents to the vets. I never remember the sedative thing for the next visit. That is news to me, Brian. That's very interesting.
And again, like, he is anxious. Like, he's nervous. He doesn't like doing it all. But he's not aggressive. He was not aggressive at the, any of the people who checked him out at all. And the entire time, I'm right by his face, holding him, you know, doing whatever. I think it's a little...
You ever take a cat to the vet? I mean, my parents had a cat growing up. I'm not a cat fan. Cats are the worst. Their claws are out. They're biting things. I'm amazed by that. Again, you're in the field of pets. You're in the field of pets all day.
Am I crazy in thinking this? If I am a vet, if I work at the vet, I am almost expecting, like, it's a part of the job to be, like, scratched or, like, bitten every single day. Is that, like, an outrageous thing for me to say, but...
I don't think so. I mean, I think that goes with the job. You're dealing with dogs and cats, and vets do other pets, too, right? Like, you can take a rabbit to a pet, right?
Yeah.
To a vet, sorry.
Lizard, get licked.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of the job. You're dealing with, especially here in New York State, where you can't get your cat to clawed, you are dealing with claws of cats, you're going to deal with the claws of dogs. That is part of the job. And I would think that's why there's the extra fee when you walk in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I don't know. Like, I just... You spend $200, you get the eardrops that, you know, okay. I knew I was going to spend a lot of money. I walked out of there thinking two things. Like, one, like, there's got to be a cheaper way. Like, I feel like I'm... This can't be for everybody because the second thing I was thinking, like, how many people are... Just how many dogs are just living through everything? Because if it's $200 for a simple ear infection, which I think is a pretty common thing with dogs, there's got to be a million things going untreated because who can afford 200 as a baseline for anything wrong with their animal?
I mean, imagine if there's a scan, an x-ray, something else, something more intense than a swab of the ear, Brian. I mean, you can walk out of the vet spending thousands of dollars. I think a lot of animals go untreated, unfortunately. But it also shows you, because that $75 to walk in the door, why when they do the clinics at Petco and PetSmart, the lines are wrapped around the plaza. Because people don't want to pay $75 just to walk in the door.
Yeah. Or be guilted into getting things that you don't know if you need.
That too.
Like, how many of us are real experts in, like, do they need this certain vaccine or medication that would prevent against, like, one thing or another? Like, I don't know. You know, I'm not the expert here. You have to trust, and then you walk out with this huge bill. Joe, I mentioned the cell phone store at the beginning, but really, I walk out of the vet every time, and I think it is like going to the auto mechanic, where you have someone you personally know, you walk out feeling like you're almost getting ripped off because they could be talking about things that are way above, like you have to do so much research before you even walk in the door to not feel like you're spending way more than you should.
Yeah. Yeah. But
and people will take your word for it because you're the expert.
You're the expert. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what this dog has. I don't know what my car has. I mean, that's why I go to a mechanic I trust, just a side thing. But Brian, could you imagine going to the doctor and it being like that? Well, I really feel you need this. You know, trying to sell you a shot.
I mean, that's some are accused of doing almost the exact same thing.
That's true. That's true.
But someone else, a lot of people on our text board here for, talking about this exams costing hundreds of dollars, not exactly an uncommon thing. Other people saying we don't really take them to the vet. I mean, I don't take my vet dogs only when there's something wrong with them. Like this was something like he stunk, like his ear stunk. You had to go.
Oh, it stunk? That's how you knew it was an infection.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you could tell.
Oh, so why did they need the swab anyway?
Now I'm
really worried.
Someone said they swab so they can give the correct drop. So I believe that. You know, I understand that there's got to be different types of infections, different drops, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just. It feels like going into the mechanic until you get that person you can trust or you really know what you're talking about. It feels like going to the mechanics where it's like you need this thing done. You're in over your head in terms of what it is, and they could charge you anything in the world for whatever if you need it or if you don't.
Yeah, and you feel a little worse about your dog than your car, right? I mean, we're talking about a living thing, so they can really use that guilt trip on you when they're trying to sell you on, well, your dog probably should have this, this, and this.
Oh, absolutely. Frankie in Buffalo, you're on WBEN. Does this sound familiar to you, Frankie?
Oh, yeah, this is all too familiar. It literally just, it seems like every time I go to the vet, it's anywhere between $200 to $400. About 3 weeks ago, I took my dog in to, you know, get her shots that she needed, and she had a mass growing on the back of her leg, and I'm like, you know what? Test it. Turns out it was cancerous. So that whole experience there, the week before her surgery, I had to take her back in to get a medication for a UTI. That was $300. The surgery was $1,800 or $2,500, depending on which route you wanted to go. And they don't offer a payment plan. And because they diagnosed everything, I was not allowed to get insurance for my dog. So $2,500 hit in 3 weeks out of my pocket set me back real far. I'm paycheck to paycheck.
I mean, it's incredible, Frankie. And you think about that when people are faced with it. I mean, how many dogs go untreated? Because I would imagine most people look at that like, oh, you can look at the numbers, right? We're hearing about it all the time. $2,500, you need it right now. A lot of people, most people can't do that.
No, it's and you know what? We love our animals like they're, you know, they're people. I'll do anything for my dog. It's just that, you know, you diagnose this thing and then you get, you know, find out it's cancer. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, you can't get insurance unless there's this 14-day window. Like, what difference does that make? You know, let me get the insurance for my dog. It's the biggest racket out there. It's just not fair. And this has a lot of other things I can go on that are not fair with this healthcare industry. But
hey, Frankie, thanks for the call. But you know, you mentioned people look at their dogs as kids, and Joe, you'll have this in like a month maybe. You can't fool me with that anymore. Like that is like a thing, right? You know, people love their. I still love my dogs. I love my dogs absolutely, but they are not your kids.
No.
They are not your kids.
They are until you have kids. Like, I now view my dog as my child.
But it's not.
My adopted child.
Not at all. And, no. Like, you can't fool me with the emotion anymore because it's not my kids, right? And it's like, if I wouldn't do this for my kids, I'm not going to do this for my dog.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that.
I know I'm going a little different direction here, but I have to ask you, how difficult is it to get your dog on that scale?
You know, it takes a little finagling.
Does he stay still, though, so they can get the measurement?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're pretty good about it. I mean, he can jump up fine, and they'll do it with a little food or something like that. They're too tall to where, though, it's, you know, you put a treat on the scale, they can just reach it.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, you have to, like, come up with a way and hold it up higher to get them actually jumping up on the thing.
Well, that's good.
It
okay.
could be a little scary there. It's not a big scale.
No.
For how big, like, the dogs are, you'd be sliding off that thing.
I'd love to see my sister and her husband, their dog is huge. I'd love to see how they get that thing on a scale.
Yeah. Why bother at some point? Jenna in Lewiston, you're on WBEN. How's it going this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just thought, you know, I work at a vet clinic, so I thought that it would be interesting to kind of give you my, like, kind of more inside perspective about the price of veterinary medicine.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I get it. Like, I totally understand. It is just so expensive. Even in my own family, despite the fact that I work in a clinic, like, we do struggle. My dog was just recently maybe diagnosed with bladder cancer. She's older, so it is a huge like financial burden for people. But there are reasons why it is so expensive. You know, one of the biggest things is that pet insurance. It's starting to become a thing, but it's not really a thing. There's corporately owned insurance companies, and it's starting to be more on people's mind, but even still, it's not really the same as human insurance. You know, a lot of people look at their own medical costs and they don't realize how much it actually costs behind the scenes because they're just looking at the bill after insurance has paid for it. And so I think it's kind of important to remember, you know, when you go pick up your prescription at the pharmacy and you have a $10 copay, but, you know, really that's a $500 drug, you're not thinking about that. Whereas in vet med, we don't have that. And so that's part of why it is so much more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, Jenna, I said I understand it. It's just a rough feeling. I think maybe where you bridge that gap is there's got to be that explainer that you're giving right now to everybody to kind of let them know exactly where these costs are, because you get left feeling. Like I said, I'm walking out there yesterday, $200 mm-hmm. out of my pocket, and a little thing of drops in my hand, and I go, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, well, so like specifically for you, because I was listening to you kind of explain how your dog has an ear infection. So they usually do like an ear smear and cytology. That's to diagnose the actual problem in the ear, because there's all different types of bacteria or yeast that could be present, which require different medications. So that they have to do that, which that's like an added expense, but it's one of those things that you have to do. And a lot of times I think where people get frustrated is that's a lot of times their first instinct is to offer, you know, diagnostic work or tests or blood work. And it us in humans, when we go to the doctor, that's not always the case. And I think the biggest reason is your pets can't talk to you. They can't tell you what's wrong. And so as professionals in the field, we need to rely on these tests to figure out what's wrong. And so it is, I get it. It is frustrating because it sometimes seems like your vet is just listing off, you know, 20 different things that they want to do. But it's one of those things that it's like kind of necessary, because otherwise we're not going to know what's wrong with your pet and we're not going to know how to treat them.
Well, Jenna, I appreciate the call, and I think that's pretty well laid out. I mean, I get it. I understand. And, you know, to kind of further her point, Joe, you'll see this in a month. I texted my wife while Jenna was talking. Not that I wasn't listening, but to ask, to kind of further what her point is, because there isn't really pet insurance, which, by the way, like, the fact that there needs to be pet insurance, there never used to need to be pet insurance. Nobody was clamoring for pet insurance in the 80s.
Right. I didn't even know it was a thing until you mentioned it before the show.
But, like, the costs have gone up somewhere to where that's now a thing to be talked to, because it was never needed before. But anyways, to kind of prove her point, you know, I'm talking about $200. That's all the cost. There's no insurance to cover. That's not copay or something like that. And your cost would be a lot more. Guess how much it cost to have my son delivered at the hospital a few months ago?
How much?
Guess.
With insurance?
Just the cost, the bill before insurance takes care of all the stuff.
Oh, $5,000.
$26,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So that is the cost of it. At the end, after our insurance, we pay $500. So, like, and that is part of what plays into my head where I'm walking out with my little thing of eardrops and, like, out of pocket to me, that's half a baby. Like, you know.
Now, when you say deliver, $26,000 is everything, though. The overnight stay.
That's the hospital bill.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Just to let you know.
Glad now, we have insurance.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did that now so that when you open the bill and you're holding your child.
Can we return this?
You don't accidentally drop them.
By the way, less than a month. Just to clear the dates. Less than a month is the due date. It's getting real, Brian.
It better. that made it more real for you.
Yeah.
26K. We'll be back here, B-Mans and Beamer on WBEN.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We were talking about taking your dog to the vet, which I did yesterday. Always hate it. You spend a lot of money. You don't really know what's going on. You walk out. It's like you just got hit by Evander Holyfield, like in a drive-by punch. And you're just like, whoa, what happened?
Now, let me ask you, going in, how much did you think you were going to spend?
See, look, that's, I'm conditioned now. I was thinking like $100.
Okay.
So I doubled it.
So that's
to 200.
Bad. Yeah.
But at the same time, like I don't want to the last caller who works at a vet clinic, I also get it. Like I also understand everything she said. Nothing she said sounded unreasonable to me as to how you reach that final cost.
No, but you know, she did say we can't talk to our dogs. Would you know, there was that show on Animal Planet where the guy talked to dogs.
Oh, there was?
The dog
whisperer. I was going to say Dr. Doolittle. Well, he didn't actually talk to dogs.
Well, he could communicate with dogs, right? Did I not?
No, he just trained them. He was good at training them.
Oh, I completely misunderstood
that. He was called him the dog whisperer because he was really good at training them.
I obviously never watched the show. I thought he could communicate with dogs.
It was a supernatural show.
Dude,
he's just good at getting them to sit.
There's a show on TV about a guy that talks to dead people, okay?
There's a lot of them.
I'm not putting it past
someone. My wife is watching one of them right now. I come down from, I put my youngest to bed because she's waking up at first cry in the middle of the night so I can sleep. So I come downstairs every night, and there's somebody talking to dead people on
TV. Is that the
TV.
Guy that draws pictures?
He's doing something.
Okay.
He's doodling around.
So, you know, when we were younger, they had John Edward, and he would have the crowd. South
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, he does the this. Same thing
okay.
as John Edward.
Okay. I mean, that's on. So it's not crazy.
When he's talking, the only thing I can think of is that South Park episode of John Edwards.
But so it's not crazy to think that they would have a show of a guy that claims he can talk to dogs.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Okay, yeah.
But the dog whisperer was not that. But, you know, I get it. I get it. It's just, you know, it hits you like when it feels like going, you know, taking your car into the mechanic if you don't know him. You know, you have that thing. You know something's wrong. You know you need to get it fixed. But they could say absolutely anything to you. And that's the one thing that I dread about going to the vet when something's wrong is...
Something else will be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they could literally say anything and you'd be, huh? What? You know, you're kind of lost for that. We were talking in the break about you're by yourself tonight for
yes.
dinner.
Yeah.
And you're really looking forward to it. But we have like opposite ways of how to attack that.
Yes. You're a very simplistic guy. And I like that.
So I am, if I'm by myself or just like me and the kids for dinner, my wife is, you know, a normal person. So she, for dinner, likes an actual dinner. So, you know, we'll have like something to eat. There'll be a side, you know, a vegetable. Like it's a whole meal.
Right.
I've just never been that way living by myself or, you know, at any point in my life. I just, so when she goes, I get what I want. And that is just meat cooked up, and that's it.
And a fork.
Yes. a pound of beef, ground beef. Maybe it's some other type of beef. I'll make it in a pan. Give me a fork, and I'm satisfied. And that's it.
I'm thinking around today, what am I going to get? I'm excited. I get to it's me tonight, right? A meal and the Mets. Hopefully they don't get swept. A meal and the Mets tonight. And I'm thinking steak tacos, right? Aldi has the cheap pound and a half of steak taco, you know, for $5.50. You get that, you get a few street taco shells and some sour cream, I'm set.
Yeah, that's like, you do the whole thing. You do it all. You make yourself a meal that you want.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, finally, I'm by myself. I can eat like a caveman for like without, you know, being looked down upon.
And if I get sick of the shells, Brian, I pull out a thing of tortilla chips and I will dip the tortilla chips in a mixture of steak and sour cream.
It sounds pretty good. You got a nice plan going on. We'll go to Jim in Tonawanda. Jim, you're on WBEN. What's going on?
Hey, hi. Yeah, I always listened to the that technician that called about, you know, the prices and all the tests that, you know, they had to perform, which is understandable. But going back, my pit bull a few years ago. Years ago, blew out her knee. The vets up here wanted $5,000 to do a knee surgery. We found this vet in the Southern Tier, and he did it for $1,000. And 2 years later, the same pit blew out her other knee. We went back down there. Now back in March, my dog, we got her fixed. The vets up here wanted $1,200 to get her fixed. We paid $500. And this vet is very good. He cares about the animals. He's like, yeah, we're looking for a profit, but we care about the animals too. The vets up here with all the mergers and stuff, they're out to make the most profits they can make.
Jim, thanks for the call. I think that's what plays into your head too. The vet that I go to, I look at them favorably, even after walking out. You know, feeling like like
right.
Everyone in there is very nice. You do get a good feeling that you're being well cared for, even if sometimes I'm looking at the price and going, huh? But you hear stories like what Jim is saying all the time. Like, that's what leads you to think that way, that a vet is like an auto mechanic where you don't know if you're going to get your value or be ripped off or not. Because, I mean, come on, Joe, you got to know a bunch of people. I know a ton of people who have, you know, had to go to 2-3 vets, and they get wildly different answers about how much it would cost or if anything can be done.
I don't know. There used to be a college that's no longer going to be around after this year, and they had a program with their vet techs, and you could take your pet there, and it was a lot lower price than if you went to your everyday vet, kind of like how UB does with UB Medicine, right? But I don't know if they still do that. But yeah, people shop around. They go, man, these prices get ridiculous. Well, if we listen to Jim, take your pet, put it in the car, and go down to Hornell. Go down to the Southern Tier and save a few bucks.
But like, you hear these stories, it all plays into kind of what you're thinking in the back of your head. Like, what am I really paying for? What am I? And by the way, like a few texts on the board. I'm not complaining about that. I mentioned the $26,000. That's the hospital bill at the end of the day. I'm not complaining about that at all, by the way. Like, I understand it.
Yeah.
And that's part of what, you know, makes the whole, I mean, you could have a whole healthcare discussion. I was there. So I understand why it costs so much. If there's anything worth spending money on, that's it. If there's anyone who deserves to get paid a lot of money, it's the people who took care of you. It doesn't mean that there can't be sticker shock when you get that in the mail.
Are snacks included in that $2,600? Like, can I go get a snack and include that in the bill?
Probably depends on your... hers are included in the room.
Oh,
yours,
okay.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Unless you steal some off of her plate.
Okay. Is it like at a hotel, if I open the fridge to the mini bar, they'll charge me?
I don't think there's a mini bar in your maternity room. That's just, you know, who knows? I don't know what alternative care hospital you're going to, Joe, so could be a new trend out there. We keep hearing the commercials for Wheel of Fortune Live.
Yes.
You say you want to go.
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yes.
Like, did you think about it?
Brian, I went on YouTube and watched videos from this tour, and now I'm even more convinced I want to go.
I initially would sound exactly like you.
Okay.
Like, absolutely want to go. Seems like fun. I've been watching the show my entire life. When I really think about it, there's no way I'd want to be on that stage. I'd make a fool out of myself.
See, I don't think so. I don't think, now, I say that, and you're right. Stage and me at home with a bag of popcorn is a lot different, right? But I feel of all the games, Wheel of Fortune's probably the one where I would go in having the best odds to make money. Jeopardy, I would be in the negatives. Price is Right, prices change all the time. I don't shop as much as I used to for that kind of stuff. I think Wheel of Fortune would be my best prepared. Again, it's all luck, right, with the wheel, but best prepared because, like you, Brian, I've watched it a lot.
Being under the gun, I think. How many times you watch Wheel of Fortune?
Yes.
How many times do you solve it?
I would say in a given show, I probably can solve 3 of the 5 puzzles.
How many of those puzzles do you solve after the allotted time? Like, do you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, after, in a time where you wouldn't be able to solve it on the stage?
Yes. Yeah. Especially those quick puzzles where they're filling it in.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Like, that happens to me all the time, and then you add, like, all the stuff going on around you. I think I'd be terrible at it. But it begs the question, and for you, we'll see if you stick with Wheel of Fortune. Any game show, you are picked up, you get an email today, we plop you on the stage this evening, any game show on TV, which one do you think you would do the best at?
I'm going to stick with Wheel of Fortune. Of the game shows around right now, I'd have to say Wheel of Fortune.
No way.
What one do you think?
No way. I think Wheel of Fortune is at the bottom of the list.
Okay.
Because it actually takes skill. Top of the list, all the ones where you don't need any skill in the world to win.
So
Deal or No Deal is immediately.
I'm glad we were thinking the same show.
Immediately at the top of the list. Everything's a guess.
And we had not discussed this, by the way. Yeah. We both just came up Deal or No Deal.
But like, that's the one. I mean, you need no skill whatsoever. So boom, Deal or No Deal number one. What's the one with the big ball? It's not Plinko on The Price is Right.
Okay, love Plinko.
But there's, it's a show. I think it's like a primetime TV show. And they drop a big ball, you know, down, and it goes into various sums of money, and you do something else. I don't know.
That one I don't know.
Did we say Let's Make a Deal or Deal or No Deal?
No, Deal or No Deal. Let's Make a Deal is the 10 a.m. show before Price is Right.
That's what was on my head.
Okay.
But they're both the same. They're 1 a.m., 1
b. Yeah, Let's Make a Deal. It's luck.
It's a guess.
There's no skill.
There's no skill involved at all. You could plop me in there right now. Brian, you got to go on stage. And it's the next door over. I would do just as good as anybody.
Would you be tempted to take the door 3 or the $1,000 they're going to hand you?
Oh, I'll take the $1,000 all day.
Always.
All day. Because you know what?
That's a zonk. I know it.
Well, even if it's not, it's something that I don't need or don't want or can't fit in a garage that I would have to get and then sell, and all that extra effort, just give me $1,000.
Yeah.
I'll walk out of here with that in my pocket.
I'll take the envelope.
So those are up top for me, like the ones that take no skill. And I think the Price is Right is right there.
Price is Right does take skill, though. I mean, you have to know the price has to be right.
Minimal skill.
But when I, and someone tweeted this, and it's funny, but when I worked retail, I think I was better at Price is Right than now because I saw prices all day, every day.
But think about how little skill you need to win a showcase.
Yeah,
think about like the duration of the show. You just need to be picked to go down to the line.
Right.
Okay, so you get there. Then you just need to be
closer
than a bunch of people. What, is there 6 people on the list, 5 in the lineup who guessed at the first prize?
Isn't it just 4?
You could just say $1, Bob, and you win, like sometimes.
Or just copy the person next to you.
Right.
That sounds good.
Like, you don't really need to know. You just need to be a little bit better than that. Then you go on stage.
That's all luck, for the most part.
Well, it's luck, but and you don't even need to win. Because anyway, if you get on stage, you get to spin the wheel. The wheel's luck.
Right.
And then you get to the Showcase Showdown, and it's more of the same thing. Like, you do need a little bit of skill there, but not a lot. And all you do need to do is be better than the person next to you.
Did you ever watch the documentary about the guy who studied The Price is Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
If you're up against that guy, you don't stand a chance.
No, but the wheel did. I mean, he didn't get to the showcase. Like, all that work.
Oh, I forgot that.
And he didn't get to the showcase. But not to ruin it, sorry.
But someone had a perfect bid.
Yes.
Who was looking at the guy. Now I remember the story.
Yes.
I watched it a long time ago. But, like...
That's right.
That... you could skate your way through to a showcase win
you
at
could.
The Price is
you
Right.
Could. But you could also really embarrass yourself on The Price is Right. Like, if I had hole in one or two, and I got the first price wrong, and I had a putt from all the way back there, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, but then you could spin the wheel and land a dollar.
You're big on spinning the wheel. I want to win my game.
And that's bonus. Like that, everything is like bonus. I that's far easier than Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune, you have to know something. You have to know your. And now they're adding crosswords to Wheel of Fortune.
I think that makes it easier.
Oh, I don't.
Like when it was Blank City, I knew that as soon as the S came up, I knew I could get.
What
the cities.
Order are you supposed to say the words in? Does it matter when it's a crossword?
No, you just have to say all of them and don't add anything.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know. Like I saw it once and I was very curious. Does it matter what order you say the words in? Are you going to get and? What's the hardest?
The hardest game? Jeopardy.
Yeah, I think so too.
100%.
Tom in Cheektowaga, you're on WBEN. Were you, it says here, you were on The Price is Right.
Well, we made it all the way up into the building. We were going to California on vacation, and there's websites you can go to get audience participation tickets. And we figured, well, we'll do The Price is Right because you get picked out of the audience. It was a nightmare. We had to be there at 7 in the morning with 150 other people, and you're in like a cattle place.
Yeah, they call it the cattle call.
Yeah, they keep you in there. It was like an aluminum roof. Of course, they sold you $8 bottles of water to keep you cool. It wasn't until noon when they started streaming us into the studio. And then you start walking through, and the guy talks to you, the producer talks to you for about 4 seconds, shakes your hand, and then the assistant's next to him. The woman next to us got in because it was her and her husband's 50th anniversary. And then the taping itself was another 2 to 2.5 hours before we got out of there. So we ended up spending almost 9 hours inside there just for one taping.
Tom, thanks for the call. So you didn't have a great experience.
No.
I do think it is important that people realize that before they, you know, make a plan to, like, that's going to be an all-day event.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about any of that.
No.
like the waiting and all that stuff. Just, you're plopped on stage right now. Where do you think you could win?
I still go with Wheel of Fortune, but I do think you have a point of separating skill set shows. I think of skill set shows, Wheel of Fortune's by far the easiest.
Okay, are we talking all game shows or does it have to be a major one?
Of all game shows, skill set shows.
America Says.
Explain.
You know this one?
I do not know this
it's
one.
It's Family Feud for Idiots. They give you, on the board, it's the same style question as Family Feud. You know, we asked a bunch of people in America, the blah, 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 blah. And then on the board, they show you the beginning letter of all the answers and space, 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 space. And then you have your little group of four people, and you go, and it's timed, and you see how many you can fill out on the board in the certain amount of time. I call it Family Feud for Idiots. It's the easiest thing there is. The cash prize is a lot lower. It's on like, it's in the teens.
Okay.
On like 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
I've never seen this game.
This was a big game, 2020, baby in the house, world shut down.
Okay.
We were watching America Says every night, and it was the easiest thing.
See, Family Feud's one I don't think I could do. Like, I don't know if I could... if they put me at that final stage of Family Feud,
that's
the
hard
one.
That's the hard one.
Yeah.
Is being able to do that in an amount of time without the visual aid.
Yes.
Like that's the part. Without having a visual aid, if you're number two, to know what you can't say.
Yeah.
that would be a hard one.
You only
I would
five extra seconds.
America says Family Feud has a bigger prize, and it's a little bit tougher. But I think I would do good on Family Feud. I've always wanted to do Family Feud. It's one of my favorite shows. Funny.
Very
funny. Like it a lot.
Yes.
I think I come up with pretty good answers and could fill that board out when it's time. Here's the thing, though. Are you confident you have five other family members who would field out a good... You're not confident yourself
right.
on this. But, like, do you think you have five family members good enough to be on that show?
Yes. I don't think they'd want me to be part of the team. You know, I think... I definitely think members of my family would be very good at that show. They would probably say, Joe, we'll see you in the audience.
I do not know who I would choose to be on Family Feud.
Don't choose me. I'm not part of your family, but don't All choose right. me.
I think I would have a very hard time. I'm not trying to be mean.
You're
to
saying
anybody.
This on your air, on the air. Your family's listening. Hey,
I know, but like you have to choose. You look at everyone available to you. Your whole roster. It's like Lindy Ruff choosing his guys for the shootout at the end of the game. Who do you pick? Who's got the specialty skill to be able to do this? I don't know who I would pick. I'm sure I could pick.
Yeah.
I think making the right decisions.
Very important.
It's tougher than being a coach in the NFL.
Yeah. And you got to be able to say, sorry, you can't make the cut.
That's the thing. I mean, the cut day in the NFL, at the end of the day, they go, I know it's just business. You get cut from your Family Feud team?
I'll take you out to a nice steak dinner.
Ah,
right? Oof. I mean, that's the deal you make.
If you win?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not just business.
No.
You started a real Family Feud.
I'll tell you what game show I did like. I don't think I would be well at, I would do well at it, but a show that when it summers in the early 2000s, Brian, Comedy Central, 10 a.m.,
Win
Ben Stein's Money.
Yeah. I don't remember that one.
Oh, I loved Comedy Central in the early 2000s, summer mornings. That show that talked about Sports Center, Sports Night, the sitcom, Win Ben Stein's Money in an hour of stand-up comedy every day.
Win Ben Stein's Money, if I'm remembering this, easier version of Jeopardy
yes.
with a challenge round at the end.
Yes, against Ben Stein.
And it was whoever could answer the questions first, or did they go back and forth?
Back and forth at the end, it was competition.
Lightning round?
You had a bing, bing.
Yeah, I think I could do. It's anything that's timed, you're under the gun, I think I would get flustered.
Yes.
Cameras and lights on, the timer. That's why it can never make fun of people on. Well, you can.
Yeah.
On a game show.
I will still say Wheel of Fortune, and if I'm lucky enough to get tickets, I will love to go to the show at Shays in November. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right.
That being said, we'll be back here tomorrow.
Yes.
9 o'clock.
So it's... It's so warm in here.
It really is. It really is.
I just wick sweat from my...
Well, you're fanning yourself over there. And But we'll be back here tomorrow. David's up next. Hey, if you're driving around this afternoon, 4 o'clock on the Odyssey app, I will be on FM Talk 97.1 in St. Louis. Turn it on. Listen on the Odyssey app and tell me what you think. Brian and I will be back here tomorrow on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.